Have you ever had a family member or friend come up to you with this so-called great offer, how you can make a lot of money really easy and have fun doing it? Yeah, sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, who doesn't want or need more money? Who doesn't want to quit their job, become their own boss? Platform for this great financial opportunity, it's called the MLM, which stands for multi-level marketing. Now, what they're presented to be certainly sounds inviting. What they turn out to be can often be almost cult-like and damaging. My next guest reveals that side of MLMs in her new book, Hey Hun, Sales, Sisterhood, Supremacy, and the Other Lies Behind Multi-Level Marketing, Emily Lynn Paulson. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
And learn more about Emily's book and her various activities, EmilyLynnPaulson.com. We have the link at the homepage as well. So just as a starting point, I think when I say MLMs and multi-level marketing, pretty much everyone's clued into what all those are all about, either through knowledge of or firsthand experience. But what or who opened the door for you to enter the world of the MLM?
Yeah, so a friend, which this is usually how they're presented, is a trusted friend or family member, will present a opportunity, and usually it's a opportunity that fills some sort of need, some sort of pain point. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom. I didn't have a lot of options, being out of the workforce for a long time, not having childcare, and this was presented as a really great chance to earn money from home in my, you know, vast spare time. And, you know, it really kind of just, it filled what I thought I needed at the time.
Which, again, it sounds like it fills the need, which is what a sales pitch is supposed to do. But how quickly, looking back in hindsight, does the reality start to show itself? You know, an actor says to the director, what's my motivation? What's my motivation when I first step into an MLM?
Yeah. So it can be different for everyone, but the MLM will present itself as the fix for whatever you need. It's like, oh, did you lose your job? You need money? Well, here's a way to make money at home. Are you lonely? Oh, here's a way to have a community. Do you need to lose baby weight? Oh, here's a way to earn money, and you can use our products too. So for me, it really satisfied that need for, you know, a community, something outside of myself to possibly earn money. And, you know, people will find out pretty quickly that a lot of times the work that they're told they need to do doesn't match the work they actually need to do, that there's not really time freedom, that you're needing to work all the time. You know, a lot of the labor is unpaid, and very few people ever actually turn a profit.
Now, having come from the world of radio sales myself, people would say, well, for sales, the harder you work, the more you're going to make, which in a normal economic program, yeah, that's true. But with the MLMs, and I did some wandering around, some Googling, that the upper class or the very elite, there's not a lot of those million-dollar makers like you turned out to be.
Right. So it really is an opportunity. It's sold as something that, oh, it's available to anybody, and it really isn't. I mean, mathematically, 99.7% of people who join never earn a dime. And so, you know, with regular sales, you know, just one-on-one sales, yeah, for sure. You work hard, you hustle, you know, you talk to enough people, you make those sales. But with multi-level marketing, it's that multi-level that really makes a difference. It's really building a team and recruiting people and earning a percentage of their sales. So it has very little to do with the actual product sales. It's about collecting people who then join and collect other people who join. It's about getting people into the system. So that's really what differentiates it. And the whole, you know, pulling up yourself by the bootstraps really doesn't apply because, again, you know, markets get saturated. There are only so many people to go around. So the income opportunity just isn't available to everybody.
So when you have your, they call it a team, but, you know, it's a pyramid for all intents and purposes. I think if I recall correctly, they even use that as part of the diagram pitch. If someone in your team is not performing as they should, is it positive reinforcement time or is it guilt trip time?
It's a lot of toxic positivity. So
okay.
You're told, yeah, so it's this meritocracy where you're told, again, it's all up to you. It's your hard work. It's your hustle. And that's a wonderful thought. Like, wow, it's all up to me. It's my doing. If I want to make this, I can. But then by the same token, you can blame yourself because who else do you have to blame? Oh, if it's up to me and now I'm not making it. So, you know, you're told often if you're not making it, there's a reason. Oh, here, just read more personal development material. Watch this video. You're not showing up to Zoom calls. You must not be talking to enough people. There's always something to say to invalidate someone's hard work.
So what if someone comes back with, yeah, but I've got a husband and kids. I need to spend time with them. It's called a family. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I guess that's the interesting thing is many people go into this, and me included, is I wanted to be home. I wanted to support my family. I wanted to be with my kids. And I thought, oh, this is great because I can do both. And then the more involved I got, the more time I was spending on this, you know, quote unquote side gig and not spending time with my family, the more I needed money for babysitters and the more I was spending outside. And so no matter what, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a work outside of the home mom, that is weaponized against you because you should really fit this demographic of this very, 42-year-old, like white stay-at-home mom who spends time with her kids and makes money outside of the home. Like it doesn't match.
With Emily Lynn Paulson, her book, Hey Hun, Sales, Sisterhood, Supremacy, and the Other Lies Behind Multi-Level Marketing, EmilyLynnPaulson.com, her website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Notice, too, through your story, part of the MLM attraction, draw, drug, whatever the case may be, awards and prizes, which, again, the higher you go, the more you sell, the more you're tempted to try to reach for. To me, it sounds like the old axiom of a Coke dealer when their best client runs out of money. Well, I'll give you a little taste to keep you back for coming back for more.
Oh, absolutely. It's love bombing. And it really does, you know, it's those dopamine hits, especially for someone who, again, someone who's maybe been out of the workforce for a while, someone like me who hadn't really been recognized for anything outside of mom duties for a long time. And all of a sudden you're just getting like a little tag on social media that you're doing really well, or wow, welcome to our team, or we're so glad to work with you, you're so amazing. Those things really feed you and you want more of it. And then when you do start getting noticed by the people at the top, you start maybe earning ranks, earning recognition, earning a small paycheck, even if you're spending a lot of that money, it just makes you want more of it. And that's a lot of the reason that people get roped in, because you stay in for then this supposed supportive community that, you know, you think really loves you and cares about you.
They mentioned, of course, awards and prizes, although through your experience, I guess you came to learn that there's no prize for excessive drinking, is there?
No, there definitely is not. It really, a lot of these MLMs really thrive in, having parties and meeting clients out for wine and these retention events. And, you know, for someone like me who maybe was already escaping with wine and it was already a problem for me, it really exacerbated something that was already there. I think the more I made sales, the more I drank, and the more I drank, the more it helped me sell. So it was like this vicious cycle.
It's not the ideal life when you wake up in the morning and can't remember the previous 12 to 48 hours. So that's, again, Emily, I should tell you, Emily is really forthright and totally open with her this stage of her life, this time of her life. And I'm sure you hope that other people will see themselves and hopefully see why they need the escape. You know, with that in mind, too, if you start developing questions or doubts about what you're doing, what the program is doing, what it's calling on you to do, how it's structured, what's the response when you go to someone on the inside with questions or doubts?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to ask someone outside of the system. When you go to your upline or someone on your team, you're going to be given the scripts that they've been given and the lines from the corporate you know, headquarters that they've been given, you're given just the information from the company. And you're really told, like, anybody who doesn't support you, anybody outside of the system, well, they're a hater. They don't support you. And then it just drives you further to that insular world inside this, you know, commercial cult that you're not getting actual information outside. So, you know, a good thing to do is balance that. Like, what are the people outside of this organization telling me, asking me, who's benefiting from me believing these things?
So it's really the key of an LMN is isolation.
Yes, it really is. And yet, at the same time, so it's isolation from the people outside of the MLM, but it's driving you further into the MLM. And the hard part is that you really do feel like you're surrounded by all these people. All of a sudden, you're in, whether it's fake or not, proximity relationships or not, social media relationships or not, it's these parasocial relationships, and you feel like you're in a very supportive environment. And so losing that, the potential of losing that, can be really hard, and that's what keeps a lot of people in.
So what was it, can you pinpoint a specific moment that you share in Hey Hun, that was your awakening, I guess we'd say, or at least the start of it?
Yeah. Honestly, the start of my awakening was when I got sober and I started doing the 12 steps and realizing that a lot of my amends were around things that I had done in the MLM and things I had said, and realizing that all of a sudden my intuition was coming back online, and a lot of the things that maybe I drank away, things that I wouldn't have done, sending cold messages, sending texts, saying things I wouldn't say, pressuring people to buy stuff, all of a sudden, I couldn't do those things anymore. And that's when I really started asking myself, you know, huh, how can I maybe do things differently, and why does this feel so weird to me now?
So for the person listening, as we wrap up things here with Emily Lynn Paulson and her book, Hey Hun, for the person who's listening and is in an LMN, but they're not comfortable anymore. They feel, okay, something's not right here. What's the best thing you could tell that person right now?
Yeah, I would say listen to that. And again, start listening to information that maybe you haven't been told to look at. I would say do a profit loss statement. That would be the first thing. You know, really write down everything you're spending on this MLM. Write down, you know, babysitter costs, maybe costs of you know, gifts or products you're purchasing, and then look at the time you're spending and be really honest about all of the time you're spending on your phone, all the time you're spending that is unpaid, and do a little math and see how much you're getting paid per hour. I think that's the first thing that really can open your eyes to whether this is even worth it or not. And then, you know, take inventory of the relationships of, you know, do the people in your MLM reach out to you any other time other than when they need a sale? Are they really friendships, or are they just contingent upon you earning money? And I think starting there can really help you separate yourself and see, you know, what are my next steps here? What do I want to do with this?
Also, on the flip side of that last part Emily mentioned too, take a look and see who in your life is not there anymore because of what you've been doing, how you've been acting, how you've been carrying yourself and getting drawn into. That too could be the motivation that you need to get back to the life you had versus the uncomfortable life that you now have, despite the promises and the temptations. Hey Hun, Sales, Sisterhood, Supremacy, and the Other Lies Behind Multi-Level Marketing. EmilyAndPaulson.com, the website. We have the link at our homepage, as you would expect. Emily and Paulson, I think what you share from your life and all the details, the challenges, the pain you have gone through and you have come through, hopefully people will see themselves in your story and look for the escape and the today that you have now. Thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Thanks so much.